In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. On these five Sundays before the start of Great Lent, the Church is telling us how we should pack our bags so that the Lenten journey is a successful one. Last week, through the story of Zacchaeus, the Church told us that to be ready, we have to be full of desire. Like Zacchaeus, we have to want to see Jesus. And like Zacchaeus, we have to come down from our safe places when we are called on by Christ. In our spiritual suitcase, we have to pack, very first thing, we have to pack a desire for Lent. Wanting the journey is basic. This week, the Church tells us that alongside desire, we must pack a second important item. We must pack humility. The parable of the publican and the Pharisee this morning, Christ reminds us that those who exalt themselves, those who trumpet their own horn, they are going to be the ones who will be left behind. They will not make the journey successfully. But the one who humbles himself, the one who counts himself as unworthy of the love which God freely gives to us anyway, he's the one. He's the one who's ready for the Lenten journey. The humility of this tax collector. This humility is critical for the trip that lies ahead. And I don't know about you, but for me, being told that I have to pack a bag full of humility is a cause for concern. Desire I can handle. Humility is a little bit tougher. It makes me want to ask our Lord, well, where should I go and get some of this humility? I don't have very much of it lying around the house. I never do, really. It's in short supply. Lord, instead of humility, you may as well have said that I should pack a bag of diamonds. I just don't have those either. That's a hard word. For most of us, if we are honest with ourselves, humility is a huge struggle. It doesn't come to us easily. We live in a wider culture that tells us that we can do anything, that we can be anyone, we can live forever, we never have to take no for an answer, and if you're not getting what you want, you need to work harder or shout louder or pull whatever strings are necessary until you are happy. Our culture tells us to trumpet our own horns. And for this reason, this Pharisee in the parable is such a familiar figure to us. To the Pharisee, there are two kinds of people in the world, right? There are those who are like him, and then there are the people who should try harder to be more like him. The Pharisee is the one who says to himself, if everyone would just be more like me, then this world would be a perfect place. If only I could convince you to see the world as I see it, then everything would be hunky-dory. If everyone would stop being so stubborn and listen to me, then our problems would disappear. This is how the Pharisee thinks. And by and large, this is how most of us are taught to think. We are born into this world screaming, "Pay attention to me." That's what a baby screams. And for the most part, we never stop. We change, we grow up on the outside. We hope to be admired for our character. We hope to be admired for our family life, maybe for our material possessions, to be admired for our professional reputation, for our professional achievements. And what could possibly be wrong with all of that? These are all good and noble things. And if the world were filled with more people striving for these good and noble things, then so much grief and suffering would disappear. If we are honest with ourselves, I think most of us really believe that. I do. I really believe that on most days. And yet, according to Jesus, the Pharisees and those of us like him who seek to be admired even for the good and noble things, according to Jesus, the Pharisee and those like him are underprepared for the journey through Great Lent and the journey to the cross. Instead of the Pharisee, Jesus gives us that publican, that tax collector is the good example. And sometimes we forget what a publican is. We should always remember that the publican is someone who has it made by the world's standards. He has everything most people could ever possibly want. The publicans were those who benefited from working very closely with the Roman government and military. The publicans kept the empire in good health. They were the local contractors who organized public works. The civic building projects were under their control. They helped with the collection of taxes. They were not viewed very favorably by some Jews, but they were not necessarily bad people. They worked hard, and it was in their interest to be honest, to be forthright, even if there were a few bad apples here and there. The publican, he had it made, and if anyone could have exalted himself, the publican could have. He could have done it, but he didn't. He didn't. In his heart, he counted his achievements as nothing compared to his desire to be received by God in his mercy, to be received by God in his steadfast love. And for this reason, Jesus says that that publican is the one who goes home justified, not the Pharisee. Brothers and sisters, for the Lenten journey, we are asked by Christ to leave our pride at home and to pack our bags with the humility of this publican. And although this sounds impossible, although humility is something that we so often lack, God has already given us a taste this week of the publican's humility. Such a gift. All of us spent probably at least 3 or 4 days trying to figure out what to do both before and during and after a monster blizzard that dropped feet of snow, unleashed terrible combination of winds and waves over a very long day and a half. The blizzard this past week was something that humbled us. It was a bigger thing that caused us to take our plans and to put them on hold. Whatever you were doing, you had to put it on hold. Often we live our lives trying to figure out how to get the world to conform to what we want, to get the world to fit into our plans. But when a blizzard is on the way, it's the opposite, right? The opposite happens. The blizzard doesn't conform to our will. We have to conform to it. You can't negotiate with a blizzard. It won't listen to you, right? The humility which we need, the humility which Christ calls us to take on for the Lenten journey ahead, is a lot like the humility that we all naturally show when something as big and as majestic and as fearful as a blizzard comes roaring our way. God's love is like a blizzard. God's love is bigger, it is stronger, it is more massive and more overwhelming than everything else on our personal horizons. And if we choose to treat it in some other way, then we are underprepared to receive the blizzard. If I told you last week that I had no plans to change my schedule just because some big old scary blizzard is coming my way, you would have said, "Father, you're crazy. You're nuts. You need to get ready. At least take care of your family." But how much more foolish is it to think that God's love is something that we can fit into our personal schedules by just making a few small adjustments here and there? How much more foolish is it to think that God's divine love, expressed by Christ as he gives himself in love on the cross for the life of the world, how much more foolish is it to think that that kind of love is just going to quietly walk in the back door and take a seat calmly in a pew out of the way? God's fierce love for us isn't like that. The force of Christ's love is like the force of a blizzard, and we have to be ready to be overwhelmed by it. We have to set aside business as usual. We have to get our homes and our lives in order. We have to remember what is important. We have to remember what is not important. We have to brace ourselves to be overwhelmed by the power of our Lord's divine sacrifice during Great and Holy Week. This is what the publican understood. He understood that the most valuable thing in life, right, which is God's love, is something that we cannot control. And I think that the publican realized he had three options, right? before he went into that temple to pour his heart out to God, he realized he had three options in the face of this massive thing he could not control. First, he could run away from God's love. He could do that. He could try to run away from a blizzard, right? Adam and Eve tried running away from God's love. So did the prophet Jonah. And Peter, we know, was always jumping into the water every time he saw the Lord. But you can't run away. You can't do it. God catches up with us anyway. He realized, perhaps if he can't run away, perhaps the publican realized he could try and just ignore it. I can just ignore this big thing, this bigger reality, this thing I can't control, God's love. I can pretend that it's not headed towards me. That's like ignoring a blizzard. God's love will slam into us in any case. Just as it slammed into the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, just as it slammed into the Apostle Thomas who refused to believe, just as it slammed into Mary of Egypt at a moment she did not expect. Or third, rather than run from God's love, or rather than pretend that it's not there, the publican realized that he simply had to get ready for it. He had to brace himself. He had to go up into the temple and pray. He put his life in order and put things in their proper place. And like the publican, Christ calls us to give his cross the priority it is supposed to play in the lives of those of us who call ourselves Christians. This morning, the church reminds us that Great Lent, the whole season of Great Lent, is all about getting ready. The great season of repentance is really a season of preparation, letting go of what's not important, and doing so in favor of getting ready to receive the mercy and the healing and the love which God will lay down over us even more deeply than snow left behind by a blizzard. Our Lord calls us this day, this Sunday of the publican and the Pharisee, to pick up the cross of humility, to realize that his love for us does not fly below the radar. God's love is not subtle. Christ's love for you and for me, it comes at us like a colossus that will dwarf everything else on the map. The humility we are called to this morning is simply the humility to get ready. The humility to set aside normal life and to do what is necessary to receive true life. The life which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ offers to us on Pascha, and the life which he offers us to us this day. The life and the love that he offers to us every day. Every day that we gather to celebrate the Eucharistic victory of God over the enemies that seek to separate us from his love. Amen.